Well, if you have your Bible with you here this morning, if you'll take it and turn to the 10th chapter of the book of John. We're going to continue our study in the book of John by looking at verses 1 through 18 here this morning. If you also want to just flip back to Ezekiel chapter 34, we're going to be reading a passage from there as well. But John emphasizes to his readers that Jesus is the Son of God and that Jesus is indeed God. And in order to better understand our passage today, I first want to look at what happened in the previous chapter. Throughout the book of John, we find the seven I am statements of Jesus, where he describes his divinity through various self-descriptions, two of which we're going to look at today when he says, I am the door and I am the good shepherd. In chapter 6, he said that he was the bread of life after the feeding of the 5,000 in a conversation with the recipients about life-sustaining bread instead of the bread that they had and they were hungry again. In chapter 8, Jesus says that he is the light of the world to the Pharisees right before he heals a man born blind and then goes on to discuss spiritual blindness. And that brings us to the background of our passage in John today. In chapter 9, Jesus is answering a question posed by his disciples as to the blind man's condition. They asked, who sinned, this man or this man's parents, that he was born blind? And I'm sure the blind man said, hello, I'm blind, I'm not deaf, I can hear you. But Jesus looked at him and he says, neither he nor his parents sinned, but that he was born blind so that God's works may be displayed in him. And Jesus declared that he is the light of the world. This healing of a blind man was a bit of a real miracle, farther than some of the other sicknesses and everything else that Jesus had healed, because this was the first time in the New Testament we see in the life of Jesus that he heals people that were blind. We don't see that elsewhere in the Old Testament. And Jesus contrasts blindness and sight with knowing God and not knowing him. And Jesus heals this man's physical blindness, and then he teaches his disciples on spiritual blindness. The blind man boldly proclaimed over and over again to the Pharisees that he can see because Jesus is of God and a prophet. And this splits the Pharisees. They didn't see the healing of blindness, and they didn't know where does it come from. Some say, how can he do this unless he's of the devil? And others said, how can he heal this man unless he is of God? The religious leaders were stumped, but the blind man was not. The blind man declared that Jesus must be from God, otherwise he would have been unable to heal him. The Pharisees take offense and they kick him out of their synagogue. And he wasn't alone long before Jesus found him. And the man worshiped Jesus. And the man was now seeing both spiritually and physically. The Pharisees, in comparison, were still spiritually blind to Jesus. Now in chapter 10, Jesus continues this same line of teaching by bridging the fact that he is the light of the world and therefore that he alone is fit to shepherd his people. The scribes and Pharisees are too blind to lead the people of Israel. Jesus uses this common picture that we see all throughout Scripture, attributing himself as the good shepherd and contrasting himself with the bad shepherds. We heard one such passage that Lynn read during the scripture reading this morning, and another example is that Ezekiel 34, starting in verse 1, where it says, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, this is what the Lord God says. Woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should the shepherds not feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened, the diseased you have not healed, the broken you have not bound up, the scattered you have not brought back, nor have you searched for the lost. But with force and with violence you have dominated them. They scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every animal of the field and scattered. My flock strayed through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, certainly because my flock has become plunder, and my flock has become food for all the animals of the field for lack of a shepherd, and my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says. Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will demand my sheep from them and make them stop tending sheep. So the shepherds will not feed themselves any more, but I will save my sheep from their mouth, so that they will not be food for them. For the Lord God says this, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd cares for his flock on a day when he is coming as scattered sheep, So I will care for my sheep and will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in good pasture, and their grazing place will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down in a good grazing place and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will feed my flock, and I myself will lead them to rest, declares the Lord. God is calling out Israel's religious leaders as shepherds who care more about themselves than they do those under their care. When I was growing up, there was a movie that I used to watch, and I don't remember the name of it, but there's a part of it where they're running the Iditarod in Alaska. And so there's all these different teams, and there's a bunch of the teams, and they're there. They're working together with their dogs, and there was one competitor who cared more about the glory that he would gain from winning the competition than he cared about he saw his dogs as tools that he was merely using to get himself to this great championship. And then about halfway through, it's night, middle of the night, it's dumping snow, and they come out, and he rolls in, and the guy's got a little tent set up off to the side, and he immediately gets off his sled, and he walks inside, and he begins to feed himself and warm himself by the fire. And the other competitors start grumbling amongst themselves, and they say, look at this man. This man cares more for himself, and he cares for himself before he takes care of his dogs who have been carrying him all day. And this is the picture that Jesus is trying to make for us between these bad shepherds and these good shepherds today in our passage. That they cared more for themselves than they do the sheep that are under their charge. Jesus is indeed the good shepherd, and he cares for the sheep. He takes care of the sheep, and he puts our need for a Savior in front of his place beside the Father in heaven. So let's read together John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But the one who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts all his own sheep outside, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Whoever is a stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus told them this figure of speech, but they did not understand what the things which he was saying to them meant. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All those who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they would have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters the flock. He flees because he is a hired hand and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, so that I may take it back. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it back. This commandment I received from my Father. The first couple of things that we see here is that the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd, and that the good shepherd uses the gate. The owner of a house has a right to come and go as he pleases, and the good shepherd has every right to enter through the door. The sheep need the shepherd to come and take them from the safety of the pen and out to feed, or else they will perish. The sheep can do nothing on their own. The sheep wait for their shepherd to lead them, and I don't think that's something we can just gloss over, that the shepherd comes to the sheep, and Jesus came to us because we needed a Savior, because we could do nothing on our own. You know, I've not had much to do with sheep, but once upon a time we did raise a mess of pygmy goats. And one of the fun things about pygmy goats is that they have, and most animals, is that they sure do love their sweet feed. And every night, you can do what you want with pygmy goats, but they're not super great at herding and going where you want them to go. I showed them in 4-H for a long time, and I have dragged many a pygmy goat around a 4-H ring while the judge is looking on. But they don't exactly like to go where they're supposed to go. But sweet feed really does the trick. And it's not very long before they recognize the sound of that scoop going through the sweet feed and hitting the side of the barrel. And they'll hear that from outside in the pasture, and they'll come running in, each to their own stall, ready to eat. And they recognize and they become accustomed to my mannerisms and what I do, and they begin to recognize when they're going to get fed and what they need to do in order to speed up that process. A good shepherd will get to know his sheep to understand their needs. The shepherd knows how to properly care for his sheep. The shepherd spends time with the sheep to get to know them intimately, to recognize when they're not acting as they should. The sheep, in turn, trust the good shepherd to care for them. They are not afraid of the good shepherd, and they will come and eat out of his hand and let him tend to their wounds. In contrast, the bad shepherd climbs over the wall. When we see someone climbing through a window into a house, our first thought generally isn't that he must have locked his keys in his house. It's that he probably doesn't belong there, and we need to call the cops. The bad shepherd, does not care for the sheep as he should. The bad shepherd doesn't care about the sheep's needs or how best to care for them. The sheep fear the thief and the robber and the bad shepherd, for they do not recognize those who have nothing to do with them. But the sheep listen to the good shepherd. The term sheep here is referring to more than just the nation of Israel. Remember verse 16, where it said, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd." The sheep inside the fold were God's chosen people, the Jews, but Christianity is not meant for them alone. Scripture makes it clear that it is for all nations, and God's will is that all may come to an understanding of who Jesus is. The message from the good shepherd is that all who listen to his voice will find salvation. You know, sheep aren't exactly known for their intelligence, and that's just a fact. But even sheep recognize the difference between a good and a bad shepherd. The sheep eventually realize that the good shepherd has their best interest at heart. Sometimes that may take a little while. You know, growing up, I don't know if it had already been out or if it was a new thing, but we were walking through Walmart, and I saw shrimp ramen for the first time. And ramen was very popular in our household every time my mother was gone. I think that's the only thing my dad knew how to make. And so we really enjoyed our ramen. And I love shrimp, and I love ramen, and so I thought this had to be the greatest concoction that has ever graced planet Earth. And so I began to beg and to plead my father to please buy me some shrimp ramen. And that's got to be what, like 10 cents? I refused. Did not want to buy this shrimp ramen. And I could not understand why he would not buy me this shrimp ramen. And so I began to just plead and beg and make all the promises in the world. And eventually he broke down and he said, "Look, if you will eat every single bite, I will get you this shrimp ramen." And I said, "Absolutely. Not even a question. Of course I'm going to eat it. It's the best thing to ever grace planet Earth. I'm going to eat it so fast, you're going to have to buy me some more." And so I went for the case. We got one package. So we go home, and he makes me the ramen, and I begin to get ready to eat it. I'm so excited. I've got my drink. I've got the little plate on the table. I get the fork, and you do the whole thing where you twist it, you know, get them all wrangled up on the fork, and I take a big old bite. And that shrimp ramen has to be the most disgusting thing I have ever tasted in my life. I mean, it was disgusting. And now I'm in a bit of a pickle because I have begged and pleaded, and I have backed myself into a corner with all the promises that I made in the middle of the Walmart aisle, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And my brains are going, the gears are going, and eventually I remember I've got a loose tooth. And so I start to work that tooth. And worked that tooth, and every now and again, Dad would pass by the table because he had to make sure I didn't get up and run away. And I'd stop, and then he'd go by, and I'd start working that tooth again. I got it to where it was just hanging on by a thread. And then I mustered all the courage that I had, and I twirled my fork again, a much smaller bite this time, and I just barely bit into it. And sure enough, that tooth fell right out. And it came out just a little, you know, just that little bit of blood that comes out with it, too. And it just right all got lost in the ramen somewhere. And so I began to, you know, lament to my father like that. I bit it and I lost a tooth. I don't know what happened. It's in there somewhere. And he's like, "Well, find it. You need to finish this." And everything else. And I'm like, "I am not finishing this. There's a tooth in there somewhere." And thankfully, my mother came in and she grabbed the plate and goes, "He is not eating this." And she threw it away. And I got out of eating the shrimp ramen. But the moral of this story, if we have one here, is that I thought my father was trying to deprive me of something great, when in fact he knew his son, and he understood that he would not enjoy shrimp ramen, and he was right. As sheep, we need to learn to discern the voices around us. Sometimes we find ourselves under the care of a religious leader who uses us, who lies to us or leads us to bad pastures and then abandons us when the going gets tough. We find ourselves hurt when we thought we were being cared for. They say they will take care of us, and yet we find ourselves alone and hurting and no place left to turn. These voices are often all too prevalent, but we need only to look to God's word to find truth against the backdrop of the lies and the uncertainties that surround us. Are they speaking the truth and building us up, or are they trying to entice us away from the safety and the care of the Good Shepherd? Turn to the Good Shepherd and find the care that you need. In Jesus' day, sheep were often brought in, and many shepherds would come to one fold, a cave or a little rock wall clearing that they had made, and they would all gather the herds inside to tend them over the night. And these flocks would then get all mixed up and intermingled one against the other. And in the morning, when they're ready to go out and find pasture, the shepherds would come in and they begin to call out their sheep, sometimes by name even, and they would start to call them, and they would come and they would follow their shepherd. And you can look this up and see videos. It's pretty cool, I think, to watch this process happen, where there's all these sheep, just thousands of sheep. And yet when these guys start to go out and lead these sheep out, each of their herds begin to separate themselves and follow their shepherd, because they know his voice and they know what's going to happen as soon as they leave there, that he's going to lead them to good pasture, and they're going to find food, and they're going to find water, and they're going to find rest. As sheep, we need to recognize the voice of the good shepherd, and then we need to respond accordingly. You know, the sheep responded to the voice of the shepherd in verse 4. It says, when he put all of his own sheep outside, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. However, a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus told them this figure of speech, but they didn't understand what these things which he was saying to them meant. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All those who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they would have life and have it abundantly. The good shepherd leads and protects his sheep. Jesus was saying that he is going to lead his sheep to green pastures. That Psalm 23 should be coming to mind right about now. The good shepherd leads well from the front, and he takes his sheep where they need to go. Jesus' third I am statement, that he is the door or the gate for the sheep. And once again, when they would bring him into these folds, oftentimes there would just be one narrow gap that the sheep would all enter through. And then you're left with a hole in your fence, your hole in your defenses. And so the shepherds would then lay in that gap, and they would fulfill the rest of the wall, and they would close that gap. And nothing could enter or leave the fold unless they first went through the shepherd. And this is one of my favorite pictures in all of Scripture, that Jesus uses this to say, I am the door, that none come to the Father except through me. And that you want to find salvation, you want to enter the fold, that you must go through Jesus Christ and find him as your Lord and Savior. It's the ultimate picture of salvation through Jesus Christ, that none can do harm to the sheep and none can enter the fold unless they first go through him. Where do we find comfort and safety? Well, we find it in the fold. And we can only get there through Jesus Christ. Jesus is still teaching about spiritual blindness, and these Pharisees don't understand just who Jesus is. They were still lost in the darkness, looking for safety and finding none, for they had not listened to the voice of the good shepherd. The bad shepherd seeks only to destroy the sheep. The bad shepherd leads the sheep where he wants them to go, regardless if it's what's best for the sheep or not. The Pharisees yearned to be loved and to be respected by the people as religious heroes of the day. They loved to the adoration of man that they thought themselves great. But they were like the blind leading the blind, and the Bible says that ends badly when they both fall into a pit. Reminds me of a story I read about leadership. Briscoe wrote, one of my young colleagues was officiating at the funeral of a war veteran. The dead man's military friends wished to have a part in the service at the funeral home, so they requested the pastor to lead them down to the casket, stand with them for a solemn moment of remembrance, and then lead them out the side door. This he proceeded to do, but unfortunately, the effect was somewhat marred when he picked the wrong door. The result was that they marched with military precision into a broom closet in full view of the mourners who had to beat a hasty retreat covered with confusion. This true story illustrates the cardinal rule or two. First, if you're going to lead, make sure you know where you're going. And second, if you're going to follow, make sure you are following someone who knows what he's doing. A good lesson to learn. And another good lesson to learn is that it matters who you hang around with. And it matters even more who you allow to speak truth into your life. As we look at our lives, who are we allowing to speak? Who are we giving a seat at the table? Through social media, texts, or insert whatever vice you have right there, huh? A little while ago, I heard an individual discuss how he had changed his daily routine, that he wanted to allow himself more time to grow. He said every time he found himself with some free time, he began to only allow himself to do something that was productive in a certain area that he was interested in at the moment. He had discovered that for him, too much of his day was being consumed by social media and Netflix and following his favorite baseball team. As with most things, it's not the thing itself, but the dosage. Too much time wasted, and then we wonder where it's all gone. What would our life look like if we took those small moments waiting in the doctor's office or waiting to pick up the kids from school to spend time in God's Word or encourage a friend or reach out to a struggling brother or sister? Not only do sheep find protection under the care of the Good Shepherd, they also find salvation. The sheep are well protected from any flaming arrow from the evil one, and the sheep find safety and comfort. Notice that the conditions around the sheep have not been removed or taken away. The sheep must still endure the storms that come and the sounds of the nightly predators and the footfalls of the thief or the robber. But they find themselves safely within the protection of the Good Shepherd. When we're saved and we enter through the door of the fold, we are not immune or without trials and storms. But when the trials come, we know without a shadow of a doubt that we are never alone. We may have listened to those false shepherds in the past and found ourselves alone in the darkness, looking for the light, but now we know that as the old faithful hymn promises, that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, because the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Starting back in verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters the flock. He flees because he is a hired hand and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. And they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, so that I may take it back. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it back. This commandment I received from my Father. You know, there's a stark difference between an owner and a hired hand. And I've heard a lot of theories as to why there's no Chick-fil-A in Casper, Wyoming, but I heard an interesting one Friday when Alyssa and I were closing on our new house. One of the realtors said that one of the mandatory requirements for opening a Chick-fil-A is that the franchisees must work at least 40 hours a week inside their store. That most people simply don't want to put in that kind of work into a new restaurant. And that they have no, I don't know if this is true or not. I feel like this could be a reason why Chick-fil-A's are so successful, because you go in it, if the owner's there and the owner sees how things are being treated and how the equipment is being taken care of, that you're gonna act different if the owner's breathing down your neck and you're working on a piece of equipment than you are if he's not gone and you don't exactly care about it. You know, the good shepherd understands that tending to his flock must be a labor of love. The bad shepherd abandons the sheep in the face of danger. There is no love for the sheep, only a need for money. The hired hand is not so invested in the life and vitality of the sheep that he would risk his own life and limb to save them. His heart lies elsewhere, and the sheep suffer for his lack of concern for their well-being. It's obvious when someone has truly taken ownership over their job. When it becomes more than a job, it becomes a career. When I was younger, my dad worked for a while for Pepsi. And to say that was more of a job than it was a career to him would be a bit of an understatement. You know, as soon as they got married, he was working there, and they bought their first house. And my dad immediately, they just transferred him without asking, without doing anything. They transferred him, so he was driving an hour and a half one way to work. They tried to sell the house and couldn't get it sold, and so he had to just live with it. He would jokingly, I think, say that he just worked there to support his fishing habit. And he was not invested in the company. And when they asked their drivers to do the same amount of work for about half the pay, he left. And he went and found greener pastures somewhere else where he could take a little bit of ownership in the company and in his job and his part to play in it. The sheep in our passage today are left alone in the face of danger when they're left under the care of a hired hand who doesn't care. But the sheep find life under the care of the good shepherd. These last few verses say a lot about life. It says that the sheep are going to find life, and that the good shepherd will willingly give his life, and that he will take it back up again. For this reason, it says the Father loves the Son, that God loves Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. Jesus Christ did indeed lay down his life for the sheep in order that we could become one flock under the care of one shepherd. And Jesus Christ rose 3 days later to declare victory over life and death. And now the good shepherd invites us to find life as well and to give our lives as a living sacrifice to him. Because no other shepherd is going to care for us as he. No other shepherd has laid down their life for us. He who knit us together in our mother's womb cares for us and wants a relationship with us. He wants to give us life and life abundant. It's why Jesus came, so that we would be able to enter through the door of the fold. Have you found protection and comfort in the care of the good shepherd? Have you found life in him today? He asks simply that we step through that door, that we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as the good shepherd. If you know the good shepherd and you have stepped through that door, have you gotten to know the voice of the good shepherd? Do you know him intimately? Have you allowed him to lead you to places you never thought possible? Have you allowed him to do things with your life that you never thought possible? Have you followed him to greener pastures and drank deep from the living word of God? To let him mold you and shape you into who he is calling you to be. To listen and to serve him and him alone. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were spiritually blind to who Jesus is. May the scales fall from our eyes and may we see Jesus afresh and anew this week. The Good Shepherd is calling us to life and life abundant. Not a life free from burdens and trials, but a life worth living. A life that's going to honor God. Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but sheep tend to flock together. They don't like to be by themselves a whole lot. And we as sheep are not meant to go this life alone either. For those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are part of the body of Christ. We are part of a family, a flock. Many sheep under one shepherd. Let's encourage one another and spur each other on in love and good works, as the scripture tells us. If you need to find fellowship today, look around you. You've got a family here that cares about you and that knows the good shepherd. And that wants you to know him as well and to encourage you and to build you up. If you need comfort today, then go to the shepherd for comfort.